and welcome to Vantage Point, the broadcast ministry of St. Mark's Institutional Baptist Church. This is Pastor Reggie Lawrence, pastor of St. Mark's Institutional Baptist Church, and I'm glad to welcome you to our Wednesday morning edition of Vantage Point. We are looking at the Epistle of James, that letter written to the general church at large by James, the brother of Jesus. Today we want to begin at verse 9 of chapter 1 in James and take a look at how James continues to give us his perspective on how we arrive at Christian maturity. James chapter 1, verse 9. James wrote this letter as a way to address the principal challenges to Christian maturity. Verse 9 reads, "Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass, its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits." Here, James discusses how to work through not just the trials and the source of Christian wisdom, but he gains the perspective of God on social position. The brother of low degree rejoices in his exaltation. He is now a child of the King and heir to the riches of Christ. The brother of low degree, despite the fact that he may be poor, he may be a social outcast, he may be marginalized in this world, recognizes that as far as God is concerned, he is a person of great privilege, and he is a person of great value to the kingdom of God. So he glories in his exaltation. Likewise, the rich are able to triumph over the fact that their possessions, which pass away quickly, and they too are joint heirs with Christ. Every Christian meets on level ground at the foot of the cross, and that is a place of exaltation, no matter whether your status in life is as a lowly person, a social outcast, a person of great need, or a person of great wealth who has many, many possessions. That to come to Christ is gain. Every Christian is heir to an eternal weight of glory that does not fade away. Again, it is the mature attitude that is called for, and it is the mature attitude that results in this approach to our status among men. We go on from here, recognizing that God is growing us up. The Word is meeting us right at the point of our need, and we consider the marks of immaturity versus maturity. Immaturity is childishness, selfishness, hunger for a good time, avoidance of work. This is what children do. Love of candy, unable to eat meat, need a lot of sleep, afraid of the unknown, feelings are easily hurt, tattletale. These are childish attitudes, and God is attempting to grow us up from these attitudes, because we are called upon to help build and then to function within the kingdom of God. It's going to take a lot of sacrifice. It's going to take a lot of cooperation. It's going to take a lot of foresight. It will take a great deal of seeing things from God's perspective. And the childish attitude will get in the way. The attitude where we are bound by whether or not we are of a certain social status in the community, whether it's high or low, is an impediment to our advance in the kingdom of God. It's time for us as Christians to grow up. He goes on to look more deeply at us enduring under trial, beginning at verse 12. It reads, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." We are here experiencing what it means to love God even when we're going through trials. James focuses on the blessings of godly maturity in the overcoming of trials. The overarching blessing, he says, is the crown of life. This is life itself, the abundant life. This is eternal life. Eternal life doesn't begin when we pass away from this earthly life. Eternal life begins now. Eternal life begins as we are quickened to new life by the Spirit of God. And we live from this moment on into and through eternity by the grace of God. And the crown of life, that life, eternal life, that abundant life, is the overarching reward of living a godly life, even in the face of trials. Our vulnerability to temptation is related, it says here, to our strong desires. He calls them our lusts. Lust is strong desire. Self-control is vital. If we are to live the Christian life effectively, we must have self-control. And we see in Galatians 5:23 that self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit produces in us the ability to have self-control. The life that is lived under the control of strong desire, when our flesh dictates what we do, where we go, how we live, then we are headed for a life of soon destruction. We must have control over our lives. You know, I lived for a great deal of time with a self-destructive habit of smoking cigarettes, over 30 years. And I hate to pick on people who smoke. I know how hard it is to stop. It took me 30 years to stop smoking. But until I was able to stop smoking, I lived a self-destructive life because the flesh dictated what I did, what I wanted to do, how I wanted to live. And thank God he gave me the self-control to kick that habit. But many of us have habits, have practices, have lifestyles that are destructive, and we must have control over them. We must not let strong lusts dictate how we live. God gives us by grace all that we need to overcome strong desires. Think about how often our political, social, and cultural leaders and our role models fall on their faces because of uncontrolled desires. Think about how we admire a politician, or we admire a sports figure, or we admire a public figure of one kind or another, only to find out that they have feet of clay and that they have succumbed to strong desires and really destroyed themselves and perhaps others, destroyed their reputation because they succumbed to strong desires. When the flesh is in control, sin or excess is on the menu, and separation from God or spiritual death is the result. The flesh will always lead to excess because the flesh cannot be satisfied. You can't have enough ice cream. If you don't exercise self-control, you'll eat ice cream until you burst. You can't have enough of what you have a strong desire for. There's no such thing as satisfying the flesh. The flesh wants to rule and control, but we should be directed by and we should follow after the Spirit of God. We should exercise self-control. Self-control is a gift of God. It is one of those good and perfect gifts that comes down from God. If we lack self-control, we need to ask God for it. We need to practice it. Practice in small things. Practice in large things. We must overcome the direct rule of the flesh, the direct rule of the self in our everyday lives. Conversely, God has prepared all that we need and made it available by His grace. The abundant life is right before us. We can live that abundant life. He says that of His own will He brought us forth by the word of truth. God has placed within His word all that we need to develop, all that we need to grow, all that we need to mature, all that we need by way of guidance. I love the way the hymn puts it. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word. What more can He say than to you He has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled? This is God's plan. He brought us forth and is bringing us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creatures, that we might be able to show the world what God has in mind in the creation of man in His own image. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You. Thank You for Your mercy and grace, whereby we have access to Your word. Bless us now, Lord, as we apply Your word, Your truth to our daily lives. Guide us, protect us, provide for us, provide for our families, oversee not only us as individuals, but our families and our community, all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is in His name that we pray, and we thank You even as we ask You in His name. Amen and amen. Well, this is Pastor Reggie Lawrence once again for Vantage Point. I'm pastor of St. Mark's Institutional Baptist Church. Our church is located at 655 North Bentlow Street, the corner of Landvale Street. We invite you to come be with us on a Sunday morning. And until we get together again, keep looking up.